T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
As the bracket was coming out, I thought of the most well-respected, knowledgeable voice when it comes to college basketball. And I don't want to put anybody down, but let me just say this. This man needs to be on the dais. This man should have been on the dais on CBS on Selection Sunday. But don't worry, you're going to see so much of this guy over the next 3 weeks, you may get sick of him. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the preeminent voice in college basketball, John Rothstein. John, how you doing?
Great to be with you, friends. Always great to connect.
Good to hear you. Now, before we get started, I got a million questions. I want you to promote everything you need to promote, because like I always say to people, if you want to know what's going on in college basketball, the only guy you should listen to is John Rothstein. So let the people know where we can catch you for the next 3 weeks.
Well, obviously, you know, I'll be on different platforms, but the main stuff, Evan, this week is I'm going to be with Spiro Dedis and Jim Spinarkle out here in Dayton at the First Four Tuesday, Wednesday. Then we will go to do Friday, Sunday games in Memphis, and I'll be back in the studio on CBS Sports Network for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and obviously also CBS Sports Network for the Final Four.
Tremendous. Now, my first question for you is, when I went over St. John's resume, my unbiased eye, I said to myself, what the hell am I missing? Why is everybody crying? Like, they had a horrible stretch in the middle of the season. Great, they finished strong. Yes, we love Rick Pitino. They didn't feel or look like a tournament team. In your mind, did St. John's get screwed on Sunday?
No, and I did not have St. John's in my final projection for the NCAA tournament when I published it on 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. I had Seton Hall in the field of 68. I did not have St. John's. But, you know, one of the things that makes March Madness great, unless you're on the wrong end of it, is anything could happen. And we saw unprecedented bid stealers this year in conference tournament. NC State, Duquesne, Oregon, and we found out last night even New Mexico would not have made the field if those teams did not win their conference tournament. So it was a Murphy's Law type situation for St. John's. But here's the bottom line, guys. If you are in or around the bubble, chances are everything is not aligning in an ideal situation. The best way to not be in a bubble situation is to not go near the bubble. And that's a message to everybody else. There's so much of a debate, obviously, this time of year about what metrics are they using. Do they value non-conference strength of schedule? Do they not value non-conference strength of schedule? When you put yourself on the bubble, you are susceptible to those types of evaluations.
Yeah, no, John, and you're right about that. But I wonder how much familiarity and coaches' resumes matter with this. I mean, obviously, Rick Pitino is new to St. John's, and after a little slump there for, I don't know, about 2 weeks, they turned it around, and they were fantastic down the stretch, which is why everybody thought they were going to get in. But look at my team. Look at Virginia, what Tony Bennett has done. I mean, he had some bad losses. I mean, they lost to Duke by like 30-something. They lost to Virginia Tech by 30-something, scored under 50 points, and then they lose to NC State in the semifinal on a prayer that goes overtime, and then they end up losing that game in overtime, and obviously set up for NC State to come be a bid stealer. But I didn't know if Virginia was actually an NCAA tournament team this year, yet they got in.
Well, see, this is the one thing I asked one of the members of the selection committee last night on CBS Sports Network. The common thread with Virginia and Colorado, two teams that will be here in Dayton in the First Four, is these two teams both had pristine resumes in Quad 3 and Quad 4. What does that mean to people who are out there listening from the periphery? Both Virginia and Colorado did not have any bad losses.
Got it.
Now, you look at what they had against the field. Virginia had two wins against the the field. One against Florida, who's a very good team out of the SEC, but also Virginia had one against Clemson on the road, and Colorado beat Washington State twice. So the resumes from a quad 3-4 perspective of Virginia and Colorado are very similar. Now, Virginia, I agree with you, Teak, over the last month or two has had spurts where it has not looked like an NCAA tournament team. But at the same time, the resumes were decided that they were better and good enough to go to the NCAA tournament.
What about Seton Hall? Because you mentioned you would have had Seton Hall in, and I agree, that's the Big East team that probably has the biggest gripe for being left out. They beat UConn, they beat Marquette, they didn't have any really brutal losses. What about their resume, in your mind, kept Seton Hall out?
Well, when I was evaluating the last teams for the NCAA tournament in my bracket, and everything was really, really close between Seton Hall, St. John's, I took Colorado out, I took Virginia out when I saw them lose to NC State in the ACC tournament. But when I was scrubbing these resumes down to the bone, the one thing that put Seton Hall to me over the top, if everything was close, was Seton Hall had beaten UConn and Marquette. And if you're good enough to beat, you know, the top, two of the top eight seeds in the NCAA tournament, to me as a bubble team, that should put you in the field. Now, with that said, the committee also decided that Seton Hall's losses, losing to USC, losing to Iowa, losing to Rutgers, were too much to overcome. So people take this all into account, guys, and I say this, it's the overall body of work, it's the entirety of the resume, and that's why, you know, if you're going to be in a scenario where you take bad losses to non-NCAA tournament teams, you have to overdo it with massive wins, and I'll give you a perfect example. Texas A&M, coming into last week, had an extremely, extremely flawed resume. You look at the resume, and last week, Texas A&M had 5 quad 3 losses. But then you start looking at some of the wins that Buzz Williams' team had. Kentucky twice, Tennessee once, Florida, Iowa State. Texas A&M had the volume in terms of its wins to override the difficult losses.
Yeah, when you talk about those, the bid stealers and the NC States of the world, the Oregons who you talked about, you know, the impact that they have, that's really what St. John should be mad about, right? It's not necessarily, you know, the committee doesn't know what the hell they're doing. It's more, you just had unexpected teams that have to be in the tournament.
Well, you guys, if you follow me on social media, you know how at least once a day when I'm going through the changes in these metrics, I use the term every game matters.
Yeah.
Evan, how many times did we see St. John's and Tiki, how many times did we see St. John's be a play away for a Trey Burke win? Was St. John's a team that outplayed Creighton at Creighton this year and they failed to get a defensive rebound? Yes. Was St. John's good enough to beat Marquette at home at Madison Square Garden? Without question. Was St. John's up by double figures against Seton Hall at UBS Arena? No question. Mm. But those games are all missed opportunities when they don't go your way. And that's why I always say it's the overall body of work. Every game matters. I've heard coaches, guys, in the last week say, and there's no Big East coaches, you know, said this, but I've heard coaches say, you know, since this date, we've been so much better. We've been good. And that's like, that's fine. But that doesn't mean November and December don't count.
Right, right. No, you're right. We're talking to the great John Rothstein. All right, let's look at who's in this tournament. UConn has been the best team in the country all year long. We know what they accomplished last year. They're the number one of number ones. But what do you think of that region? Because we've got 3 of the 4 teams that made the Final Four in that East region.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Your thoughts on UConn's draw and their chances of going back-to-back?
It's outstanding in terms of location because it will be a very pro-UConn crowd in both Brooklyn and Boston. But I think if you look right now at the 2, 3, 4, and 5 seed in UConn's region, I don't think if any of those teams, Iowa State, Illinois, San Diego State, or Auburn, went to a Final Four, if anybody would be overly surprised. I thought Auburn, by winning the SEC tournament, was going to be a very strong 3 seed. That wasn't the case. Illinois, if it was not in UConn's bracket, I might pick to go to a Final Four. And Iowa State obviously beat Houston by 28 on Saturday in the Big 12 tournament title game. So I look at UConn as having a favorable path in terms of its location, but the Huskies are going to be tested here, assuming obviously they handle business in Brooklyn and get to Boston.
The West, though, with UNC at number one there, Alabama's in that division as well, and Baylor. You usually do these brackets as, I don't know, they give them these nicknames. What's the West to you?
Well, Zeke, I'm happy you asked that. If Evan's open to it, I will give you my nickname for all the 4 regions.
Damn right.
Well, let's go right now, Zeke, with the West, and then we'll work our way around.
Okay.
Because of what we have in the West region being played in Los Angeles in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8, which is right near Hollywood, the first thing that jumped out to me was North Carolina's the 1 and Arizona is the 2. So that means if the seeds hold, we have a situation where Caleb Love could be facing his old team for the right to go to the Final Four. And that region's playing right down the street from Hollywood. That's the region of drama. Then let's look at the region that you just referenced with UConn. We've got Dan Hurley. You've got TJ Alsterberger, who looks like he could be the next Ken Shamrock. You've got Brad Underwood, who keeps a treadmill at practice just in case he's not happy with the flow of things. You have Bruce Pearl. You've got Brian Dutcher in San Diego State. Highly competitive people, highly emotional people. This is the region of gladiators. And then we go to the top right. I look at the perimeters in this region. Houston, Marquette, Florida, one of the great offensive teams that we've seen in college basketball this year. Kentucky, John Calipari's best offensive team ever. Duke, Wisconsin, the best offensive team of the Greg Gard era. This, to me, the South region is the region of firepower. And then the bottom right, things get a little bit more intense. Things get a little bit more, I would just say, tight. Because I'm looking at the fact that Purdue is in this region, and make no mistake about it, Purdue cannot truly exorcise the demon from last year's loss to Fairleigh Dickinson unless it wins 4 games and goes to a Final Four. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Tennessee, who, for as good as it's been under Rick Barnes, has never been past the Sweet 16 with him as the head coach. And then you've got a Kansas team that did not have both Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson available for the Big 12 tournament last week in Kansas City. This is the region of tension.
Mm, I like it. Now, you mentioned the Caleb Love storyline and how appealing that is. Tell me more about this storyline that I wasn't aware of, obviously. I'm sure you are, obviously. Is the Long Beach State head coach Dan Monson has basically been fired, right. But they went on the run in their tournament, got in, and now they're in the NCAAs with a fired head coach? Tell me more about that situation.
So it was about a week ago, Evan. You know, I was working on a story. We were at CBS Sports Network getting ready for a conference tournament game. And, you know, then the news came out that Long Beach State was going to part with Coach Monson after 17 years. But then, as you guys know, Long Beach State was still seeded 4th in the Big West. And when you are in a one-bid league, and, you know, obviously things are a lot more balanced now than they used to be in college basketball because, you know, players are not retained at the same rate as they used to be, you know, when we were all growing up. So it's not as much rhythm and chemistry, especially at the mid-major level. So Long Beach State now made the choice about, you know, 6 or 7 days ago to part ways with Dan Monson, but he will be the one that's coaching in the NCAA tournament. Now, get this for a storyline, guys. The matchup is Arizona against Long Beach State. Who is the head coach of Arizona? Tommy Lloyd, 20-year assistant to Mark Few at Gonzaga. Dan Monson, as we remember, was the original coach of Gonzaga when the Bulldogs broke through at 99 and went to the Elite Eight and with UConn beat Gonzaga to give Jim Calhoun his first berth in the Final Four. So the matchup in that game is surreal because you have two coaches with deep ties to Gonzaga.
Huh. You think Monson's done?
At Long Beach State?
No, no, just in general. It's been a lot of years coaching.
I mean, you know, people say retirement's the worst, you know, word in the dictionary, but somebody also told me never speculate on speculation.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you about that. All right, so give me your favorite team. I'm not talking about the team you think is going to win, that has the best or easiest or most likely path, but your favorite team for whatever the storyline is, who should we be watching that John Rothstein has fallen in love with this season?
I wouldn't say falling in love with Teak, but I would say the most compelling storyline in the NCAA tournament is Purdue. Because, I mean, let's face it, and I mean this with all due respect, because my heart has been broken for Gene Cady, for Matt Painter, for Purdue fans. Let's think about Purdue's last half a decade, shall we? In 2018, Purdue had a Final Four caliber team, a team that I think could have won it all if things broke right. Isaac Hotz in the NCAA tournament suffered a gruesome elbow injury. They lose to Chris Beard and Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. 2019, they lose, obviously, the memorable game against Virginia in the Elite Eight,
yeah,
when Purdue had a lead late. Mamadi Diakite made that floater shot, and all of a sudden, we remember Virginia went on to win a national championship. Then, 2020, there's no tournament. 2021, you're a fourth seed. You lose to North Texas. Then, you go to Philadelphia in 2022. You have a team that has Jaden Ivey, Zach Edey, Travion Williams. Yeah. You lose to St. Peter's in the Sweet 16. And then last year, Fairleigh Dickinson, a team that was not good enough to win the Northeast Conference tournament because Merrimack won that tournament, but Merrimack wasn't eligible to go to the NCAA tournament because of the transition rule.
Right.
Fairleigh Dickinson then goes and pulls off the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament. That right there is the sample for what life has been like from 2018 until now for fans of Purdue.
Hmm. And you know why all that happened, Tiki?
That was a 116, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we know what happened the last time the 116.
Virginia,
right? 2018.
No question. But guys, this is one thing I want to point out. I think it's important to remember this. And I'm not making excuses for anything, but just in terms of the historical context, when you think about the fact that Virginia lost to UMBC, we have to remember DeAndre Hunter suffered a season ending injury before that game and was not available for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And UMBC, despite being a 16 seed, has resources, and for the level that it plays at, has very, very good resources. With all the respect to Fairleigh Dickinson, Fairleigh Dickinson does not have near the resources that a place like UMBC has in the Northeast Conference. And Fairleigh Dickinson didn't just not win its own conference tournament. It had to play in the first four a couple of days before just to get to the game. It was without question the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament.
I kind of like Tiki's thinking, though.
Right.
Purdue is on the revenge tour like Virginia a few years ago.
I mean, look, the beauty of losing to 116 is that the following year, the next year, Virginia won the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And so it just made for an unbelievable story down in Charlottesville.
Hopefully
the same thing happens for Purdue.
This will be interesting. But the one thing I repeat in my head as we watch crazy college basketball, this is March. This is March. John, enjoy it. I know you'll be doing a great job. We'll be watching, and always good talking to you, man.
Appreciate you, John.
Anytime, guys. Great visiting with you.
Likewise.
The great John Rothstein.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.